brothers and sisters, sinners and saints, enter the sanctuary. The doors are open. Welcome to the First Church of Lorenzo. The only church that swears back.
I'm done fucking with these Asians, man. It's really not the way you want to start a fucking bit. I know. But okay, hear me out. I've done a fucking bit on Asians before and how we cut them way too much fucking slack and let them get away with shit that, you know, white people or black people or pretty much any other nationality and or race of people, or we would never let white people get away with the shit that we let Asians get away with. Refer to sometime back in season 2 if you want to check out that episode. But one of my favorite things to do in the evening is to sit and scroll through the YouTube shorts. I'm not a TikTok guy, but I do like the short form videos. So I find myself gravitating towards YouTube to get the short form videos. And most of the ones that pop up on my, what do you call it, timeline, with most of the ones that the algorithm suggests to me are that guy who like shoots bowling balls with larger calibers of weapons until he finds one that'll go all the way through the bowling ball. You know what I mean? That's the shit I see more often than not, but every fucking now and then the YouTube algorithm throws me a curveball. While I was sitting there happily flipping through YouTube shorts, pausing at the occasional video of the guy who plays the drums really fast with the fucking beard while smoking a joint, and the guy who's shooting stuff with different caliber weapons, and I ran across this video of this little Asian guy standing there with this very knowing, serene smile looking at the fucking camera. And behind him was a very serene fucking scene with trees and tall grasses and shit, right? Like leaves floating through the fucking air and the gentle fucking dong dong ding dong dong fucking music. And what this guy was doing, and I don't remember the title of the video exactly, but it insinuated that what he was going to do was show me how the ancients made soy sauce. So I paused the video, settled back in my chair, grabbed my bottle of water, and got my mind ready to learn how ancient Chinese people made soy sauce. Well, he started out harvesting a bunch of soybeans, and then the scene cuts, and he's got this giant wicker basket, and he's carefully washing the newly harvested soybeans. And then after he got done gently washing the soybeans in the clearest water you've ever seen, he put them in a giant wok, a really big fucking wok, and then poured water all over the top of them and gently heated them up until they changed color. And then he dipped them out ever so gently with the most inefficient fucking tool you ever seen and put them in another wicker basket where he then lovingly dried them with a rice cloth or some shit and covered them with a bunch of leaves and let them sit in the sun to dry. And then after an undisclosed amount of time, he went back to the soybeans and they had dried and they had changed color yet again. And then he put them in this weird stone open-topped box and added just a little bit of the clearest water you've ever seen. And then with some kind of foot-powered mallet, he ever so gently and with nothing but tender love beat the fucking soybeans into a paste, and then he scooped that paste out lovingly and carefully with another of the most inefficient fucking tools you've ever seen, and put the soybean paste into a clay pot, which looks like it had been in use for over 100 years. Covered the clay pot with a piece of clay, and then wrapped it in some kind of weird paper and sealed it with wax. And then that sat for an undisclosed amount of time, but it seemed like it was a long time. And then he cut the fucking tape off, and he removed the wax seal, and he reached in with another tool that was super fucking inefficient, and he put it into a gigantic goddamn wok. And then after all of the paste was lovingly and carefully laid into the wok, he took some more of the cleanest, clearest water you've ever seen, and he added it to the paste, and then he started the fire out of wood. It wasn't gas or anything like that, and it wasn't a click on the fucking flame situation. No, he got some tinder and he made himself a beautiful fire underneath that wok. And that soybean paste with the clearest water you've ever seen cooked for an undisclosed amount of time until the water turned this weird brownish greenish color. And then he poured it into another clay pot, which looks like it had been in use for 100 years. And then he sealed it with this paper and this red wax, and he stamped some kind of fucking symbol in it. I don't know what it was because I don't read Chinese. And then he let that sit in a dark, cool place for an undisclosed amount of time. And we know it was a long time because the video showed him walking aimlessly around his beautiful, idyllic property and sweeping stuff and making shit out of clay while he waited. And then finally it's time. It's been long enough. The soy-based mixture has fermented, I'm assuming at this point. And he cracks the wax seal, and he unwraps the brittle paper, takes the clay lid off the pot, and looks down in the pot, and then looks knowingly at the camera with a small smile of satisfaction at a job well done. And then this wizened Asian gentleman went and got a buddy, a friend, who we haven't seen yet to this point. And they team lift this clay pot and they take it over to a wok. And on top of that wok is a wicker basket. And in the wicker basket are leaves and some kind of weird paper, probably made out of fucking rice. And then they pour the mixture ever so gently and with the most serene looks of satisfaction on their faces through the filtering mechanism that they've made and down into the wok. And in the wok is a liquid that is rich and absolutely amazing looking. The highest quality soy sauce I think I've ever seen. It is then portioned out into tiny glass bottles by hand, corked and sealed with a little bit of red wax. The entire video was probably 3 minutes long, and after the video was over, I paused it and just sat there and stared at the fucking wall for a good 15 minutes as I was trying to process what I had just seen. And finally, after about 15 minutes, I fucking snapped out of it, and I literally said out loud, "I'm not fucking buying it." And then I, you know, flipped up and then flipped back down and watched the video over again. And the whole time I'm watching it this time, I'm watching it with a scrutinizing eye. I'm not fucking buying it. I don't believe that that is how they fucking made soy sauce back in ancient fucking China or Cambodia or wherever the hell this was. I don't fucking believe that it's real. Because who looks at those soybeans in the field and then looks over at his buddy and goes, "You know, Yan, if we would take these soybeans and lovingly wash them and then smash them into a paste and then wash them again and then let them sit for a while and then dry them out in the sun and then like rehydrate them and boil them for a little bit and then wash them again with really fucking clean water and then put them and then seal them in a giant clay pot, fucking let them sit for a while and then pull it out and cook them a little bit more or something and then seal them in a clay pot again for a long time but with more water and then filter the liquid after, you know, an undetermined amount of time, what we would be left with would be probably fucking delicious on rice." There's no fucking way that that's... It's preposterous to think that that's what they actually did. But we just fucking believe whatever the fuck the Asians say. Because we're fucking stupid. I said it the last fucking time I went on a rant about the Asians. It is fucking racism. It's not racism for me to sit here and tell you that the Asians are fucking liars. No, that's not racism. That's the fucking truth. What's racism is that you watched a fucking video like that. You watched the video of Mr. Chan making fucking soy sauce in 19 steps over the course of 6 months. And you were like, "Huh, well, those Asians, man, they were really innovating in 2000 BC. Bullshit. Bullshit. I don't fucking believe it. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying any of that shit. And so then I got to fucking looking, and I found this video of this guy who makes ink in Japan, the traditional way of making Japanese ink, and it's just like the fucking soy sauce. 19 fucking steps over the course of the better part of 2 years, and you end up with a little brick of fucking ink. Fuck off. Nobody does that. Nobody does it. Nobody ever did it. They're such fucking liars. I'm convinced now that soy sauce was invented 60 years ago by fucking Kiko Man or La Choy or some shit like that in Hackensack, New Jersey. Procter & Gamble accidentally came up with soy sauce or some shit, and the Asians were like, yeah, that shit's pretty good. It'd probably be pretty good on fucking rice. Let's adopt it and then create some kind of fucking detailed backstory to make it seem like we've been doing this for thousands of years. You motherfuckers. I'm all over it. I'm on to you, you bitches. You can't fucking fool me again. We gotta stop letting these motherfuckers get over on us. You gotta start looking at everything fucking Asians say with a scrutinized eye, because I'm not buying any of that shit. None of it. None of it's true. But we just fucking accept it. We just accept it as the truth because they're mystical and they're fucking serene and we just believe whatever they fucking tell us. But we just fucking accept it without questioning. We just buy their fucking lies because they happen to accidentally make gunpowder or some shit in the fucking 1200s. You see what I mean? Why are we buying it? Why do we blindly accept their fucking lies? We wouldn't accept that shit from Germans or the fucking Inuit or anything like that. No, but we accept it from those Asian motherfuckers, man. We accept it every fucking time. 13 steps in 6 months to make soy sauce. Go fuck yourself. I don't believe a fucking word they say, and you shouldn't either. Start looking at their shit with a scrutinizing eye and you're gonna see all the fucking holes in the plot.
This is the First Church of Lorenzo.
You know, I've been present, unfortunately, quite a few times when women are getting together and conversing and they're talking about their fucking lives and their children and their relationships and shit. Right? It's much more entertaining to sit in a group of men when they're conversing because men do this thing. Now they'll talk about baseball stats or they'll argue over who the greatest of all time is, whether it's Michael Jordan or LeBron James. They'll talk about movies and they'll talk about their fucking jobs and just stuff like that. But one of my favorite conversations that men have, and not all men do this, by the way, it, you have to be like in a certain group of dudes to get this particular conversation. But one of the conversations that men have starts out with a simple question. If you could have any superpower, just one, if you could have any one superpower, what would it be? And why? And it goes more often than not about how you would imagine it would go. Somebody says, oh, I would like to have super speed because I want to be able to run here and there and never have to fucking worry about traffic. Another guy says he'd like to be able to fly for basically the same reason. Somebody always says telekinesis so they don't have to get their fucking fat ass off the couch when they want another beer. Some dude always says x-ray vision. So they can fucking check out women's bodies through their fucking clothing and stuff like that. I always thought that I would want to have the ability to disapparate. It's a Harry Potter universe thing. You take out your fucking wand, you envision where you want to be specifically, and you do the wand movement, the incantation of whatever it is, and poof, you're there instantaneously. And I always thought that that would be fucking amazing because I could, you know, envision the inside of a bank vault. You know what I mean? If I could get a look at it, I could envision it and then just fucking jump in there and get a bunch of money or something. I always thought that that would be kick ass. Or there is a little coffee shop just down by the Vatican in Rome That's the best fucking cappuccino and cannolis I've ever fucking had in my life. And I always thought it'd be amazing to be able to take my wand out and envision the coffee shop and poof, I'm there. I've always wanted to see Roslyn Chapel up there in, is it Scotland or is it Wales? I don't know. But I've always wanted to see Roslyn Chapel. There's so many places I've always wanted to go. And if I could just disapparate and poof, I'm there, how awesome would that be? That's what I always wanted. And that's what I always said when it came my turn to engage in that conversation. Now, though, I'm not so sure. As I get older, though, I think I'm not so sold on the idea of disapparation or anything else, you know, X-ray vision or any of that other shit. The older I get, I think that I would want my one superpower to be the ability to know in the moment that I am going to be in the presence of a person for the last time. Think about that. Really fucking think about that superpower. If you could have had all your life some kind of miraculous awareness that would tell you that you are in the presence of this person across from you for the last time and you're never going to see them again, how different would those interactions be? For me, it'd be a lot different. And what got me really rolling on this train of thought, it's always kind of been sitting in the back of my mind. Very few times in my life have I ever known that I was seeing someone for the last time. My grandmother was dying of pancreatic cancer, and once they got the diagnosis that it was terminal and she didn't have very long to live, my dad picked her up in his truck and drove her out to the East Coast, where I was living at the time. They stopped at every Red Lobster on the way out there and subsequently on the way back. She was a depression baby, so going to a restaurant was a real treat. It was something that they just didn't do, but Red Lobster was the pinnacle in her mind of opulence and decadence. There was nothing fancier in her mind than Red Lobster. And they hit every fucking Red Lobster on the way out to the East Coast, and then every Red Lobster on the way back. Cancer had just eaten her body up. She was riddled with cancer, and she'd lost a whole bunch of weight. She never lost her hair, oddly enough, but she lost a whole bunch of weight. And before she left on that trip, she went down to JCPenney's and she bought a bunch of size 6 jeans. And she made sure to leave the size tag on the leg of each pair of those jeans, so everyone would know that she was wearing size 6 jeans. That happened. But anyway, that's just fucking needless aside backstory. The point of that, and the reason that I think I would want to shift my one superpower to the ability to know when I'm going to be in someone's presence for the last time, was when I was in her presence for the last time. She was eaten up with cancer. She had a terminal diagnosis. She only had a few weeks, maybe a couple months to live. And she chose to take a portion of that time to come out to the East Coast to visit me. And we had a great visit. We took her all over the place and we did all the things and we ate a couple Red Lobsters. It was a really, really cool visit. I'm very thankful for having that experience with her before she passed away. But on the morning that they were getting ready to leave, we were standing in my living room and she held both of my hands and she told me that she loved me and she was very proud of me. And then she said something that I will never fucking forget for the rest of my life. She said, "This is the last time you're ever going to see me." And she gave me a hug and she gave me a kiss and she turned on her heel and walked out the door. Didn't look back. I think about that a lot. So when it comes to choosing a hypothetical superpower, I think I would like to have the ability to know in the moment that I am in the presence of someone for the last time. I don't need to know why. I don't need clairvoyance or whatever the fuck that power is. I just need to know in the moment that I'm in their presence for the last time. Because I've sat down and really thought about it, and throughout the course of my life, I've said goodbye to so many people, and I didn't realize that I was saying goodbye to them at the time. I remember my friend Corey. I really liked Corey. He and I had a special, weird rapport. We could go months without talking to each other and then just fucking pick up like we never left off. He was a really, really cool dude, but he struggled with addiction his entire life. And if I had had the ability to know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that I was never going to see him again, I would have sat down across from him, and instead of drinking and fucking talking about broads and all of the shit that we usually did, I would have sat down across from him and really addressed his addictions. He ended up dying from long-term use of heroin. It wasn't an overdose. It was just his body just systematically shut down because of the abuse he had put it through. And I don't know that me sitting down across from him in that last exchange would have made any fucking difference. To be honest with you, he was so eaten up with fucking drugs of any kind, I don't know that it would have fucking mattered. But I should have tried. That's what I'm saying. Maybe I could have gotten through to him. Maybe I could have figured out a way to get through to him and make him see that the people in his life need him and he is just fucking fading away. I think about this chick that I used to date named Bridget. She was such a sweet girl. And you know, the last time I was in her fucking presence, I didn't realize I was never going to see her again. And I should have pulled her into a side room at that fucking meeting and sat her down at a table and looked her in her eyes and told her,
"You fucking pussy stinks, bitch! You motherfucking pussy stinks!"
I think about my grandfather, too, on the other side of the family. How, if I would have known that I was never going to see him again, and over the course of the next 3 or 4 years, he was going to basically descend into madness and die of a heart attack in a nursing home, I would have sat down across from him and told him, "You are letting your anger absolutely rule your life to the point where you can't even see the great things that are happening for you." I think I would want that to be my superpower. The ability to know in the moment that I am with a person for the last time. God, can you think how useful that would be? How much change you could affect? I think about other people I've known that just kind of faded away. There was this guy that I knew named David, and his girlfriend and I didn't get along. And just one day, I never saw him again. And I think I would sit down across from him if I had the opportunity. If I had the ability to know that I was never going to see him again, I think I would have sat him down and said, "What I do know for sure, though, is you and I are never going to see each other again after today. And I'm here to tell you, and I want you to know right now, I'm a phone call away. I'm a letter away. Drop a letter in the mail. I'm an email away. All you have to do is fucking call or reach out if you need me, and I'll be there. Whether we talk every day or whether we never speak again after today, I don't know. Maybe you die. Maybe I die. Maybe we have some big blow-up fight in the near future and we just never fucking speak to each other again. But even if that's the case, if you ever need me, I'm here. I can put all that shit aside, and I will come when you call." What a great fucking superpower. In my opinion, that may be better than any other superpower. Am I going to get rich from it? No. But think about all the last conversations that you had in your life, not knowing that it was the last time you were ever going to see, hear from, or speak to a person. If you in that moment could know that this was it, think of all the things that you would say. You would leave no stone unturned. You would tell them everything you've ever wanted them to know. And you could at least walk away then with a clear conscience knowing that you've done everything that you could do. I don't know, this bit turned out to be a real fucking downer, and I'm sorry about that. That's never my intention when I sit down to record an episode. That's really been weighing heavily on my mind lately, and I thought, what an interesting fucking topic. What a cool line of thought and something neat to talk about.
So endeth the reading of the heresies.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of the First Church of Lorenzo. Visit my fucking website. I kind of like it, and I think you will too. It is lorenzosucks.com. I actually bought the domain for churchoflorenzo.com, but I've forgotten how to fucking change the fucking domain. So for right now, it's lorenzosucks.com. Go on, check out the website. Tell 7 people about the podcast. All right, until next time.
The offering commences. Tell a friend. Leave a review. Let the congregation grow. New sermons arrive when the Spirit moves. The First Church of Lorenzo. Go forth and sin boldly.